This reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. It's the very first few verses of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and among the most widely known and often memorized passages in the New Testament. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so others persecuted the prophets who were before you." That is the gospel lesson appointed for reading on the Festival of All Saints. And All Saints Day is November 1st every year, and All Saints Sunday is the Sunday closest to it after. And these are known as the Beatitudes, as in saints who are beatified, just a fancy word for special blessing. And Jesus uses the word "blessed are," and then the list of. And there are rituals and rites of canonization and beatification of saints, and some of the names we know, Saints Peter and Paul. Hospitals and schools and churches are named after these saints. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and so on. Perhaps you know some of the lesser known saints. Saint Christopher, patron saint of travelers, and people would sometimes put Saint Christopher medals in their cars for protection. Saint Anthony, if you lose something, pray to Saint Anthony. Saint Jude, patron saint of lost causes. Thought of him after the Tech game yesterday. So there's that component of All Saints Day, but more prominently, for the sake of our ministry, it's Memorial Day in the life of the church, and we usually leave pause for a moment to remember those who've gone before us, especially those whom we've loved and lost since last All Saints Day. And we've had three funerals between our two churches this year, Charles and Winnell and Francis, and a couple of others of us have had significant losses. We've joined the We're Without Our Moms Club this year, that kind of thing. And I lost a research partner too, a good friend, who co-authored my book. So we remember, you know, these people on All Saints Day. But the larger issue is we remember, period. We remember people. We remember stories of people who are oddly saints in our lives. One of my favorite theological writers is a Presbyterian minister named Frederick Buechner, who said this about saints. He said, "In his holy flirtation with the world, God occasionally drops a handkerchief. These handkerchiefs are called saints." Oh, there's something in play here in this person. And I want to talk about who I remember today. I want to talk about some of the little dropped handkerchief moments in my own life to illustrate how edifying and how strengthening for ministry it is when we remember. So this is who I remember, and I will invite you to think about some of these types as well. I remember first an old guy named Cappy, and I remember him because he entered my life at a pivotal moment. I was ordained to the ministry on June 4th, 1982, and I left the ministry, seemingly forever, on December 27th, 1987. It was the last Sunday of that year, and I had resigned, and I was done. And I had a secular job that was going to sort of bridge me into graduate school, and I was making plans to go back to grad school, which I did. But I'd left the ministry in order to do that. Well, leaving the ministry lasted about a week, oddly enough. And I was in my dingy upstairs one-bedroom apartment, sort of feeling sorry for myself, to be real honest with you. And a knock on the door came, and it was a second floor outside stairwell, and there's an old guy I'd never seen before at my door. And he said, "Are you the minister?" And I said, "Not anymore." He said, "We need a minister. Where are you?" "Fountain Green." "Where's that?" "About 25 miles to the west." This tiny little Presbyterian church that had about 15 or 20 people on Sunday and needed somebody. And they'd heard I was out of work. They hadn't heard that I had left it behind. And anyway, I said, "Well, what kind of minister do you want?" He said, "Well, we need you on Sunday to lead us in worship. We need you to do funerals. We need you to visit the hospital, nursing home. We don't much need you for budget. And we don't need you at all for politics." Okay. So Cappy essentially resurrected a kind of ministry for me that for almost 30 years now I've been doing. And this, you are, these churches here are number 4 and 5 on the list of places where I've sort of done this after having left. And Cappy, I think of when I read the Beatitudes, I mean, he's an irascible, sometimes hard to get along with, little corn farmer eking out a living. And yet I remember him when he was kind of in mourning, in a way, because his wife's funeral was the first one I conducted, and she was desperately ill when they needed this minister. And so when I think of the blessed who mourn, I think of Cappy, who not only found someone to sort of shepherd him and others through the loss of his wife, he kind of resurrected for me, you know, a calling. So out of mourning comes work and vocation and ministry. So I think of Cappy as one of those saints in my life. I think also of a woman named Linda. Linda was a seminary classmate of mine. And she was one of about 6 or 7 women in the class. That's important to know because I started seminary training in 1978, and it was just 7 years prior that our denomination ordained its first woman. Until then, the ministry in that denomination was a no icky girls allowed club, right? And the first women that were ordained in 1971. So these 6 or 7 women in my class were kind of the second generation, very early on. And they were really bright and incredibly hardworking. And I think of Linda and the others in that class when I read, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Because it was arguably unrighteous to make the ministry a no icky girls allowed club, if you will. And I think this sort of crystallized in my mind how important this was. We were in a New Testament class, and all of the faculty save one were old white guys. There was one woman on the faculty in the seminary, and she was the Christian education teacher. She was the Sunday school teacher, of course. And she was not the New Testament scholar. Dr. Linz from Germany was the New Testament scholar, and he was a formidable soul that did not brook a lot of nonsense from us. And he was lecturing, and at one point in the lecture, Linda raised her hand politely and asked Dr. Linz to watch his language. And he didn't know what she meant. I think he sort of thought that she had accused him of being profane. And what she asked him to do was to be more inclusive. He was talking about history, his story, but he was assuming that he could use he and his to describe all of mankind, right? And the notion of inclusive language was something I had not heard of much before that day, and Dr. Linz couldn't get it at all. He just was, it was like a paradigm shift. But Linda was pointing out to at least the rest of us that our use of words not only describes what is, it also determines what will be. You might find it interesting that before this new hymnal, which we just implemented about 3 years ago, we were using a much older one, and the Nicene Creed went something like, "Who for us men and our salvation," us men. And I, for years, was always intrigued by how all the women in the congregation just said that, "For us men, what?" And just let it go, because it was convenient. Well, now it just says, "For us and for our salvation." Not even all that complicated. Drop the word, right? But the point, the larger point, is the more we assume that we can describe all of us using just words that describe men, the harder it is for women to do what they need to do and what we need them to do. And so Linda was pointing out, in a quest for righteousness, that we be more inclusive. And I've never forgotten that lesson. So Linda's one of these people that remind me. I'm a sociologist now. We are the ones that sort of invented the study of diversity. And the subtle little way we use words really matters. And I thank Linda for that almost 40 years ago now. So I think of Cappy and I think of Linda. And when I think of those who are blessed when they are reviled and persecuted, I think of Billy. This is another kid, not from second grade, but from seventh grade homeroom. Billy was reviled and persecuted a lot. He was the target, and he was an easy target. He was a big kid, but he wasn't athletic at all. And he didn't get very good grades, and he was hard to get along with. And he was, like I say, just an easy target for the cool kids, of which I was not especially, but I wanted to be. And what I remember most about Billy is not only how he was reviled, but how at least once, vividly, I remember being one of the revilers. And it's embarrassing even now to tell that story, because that particular day we really ganged up on him and he began to cry, which was sad because he was larger than most of the rest of us and could have just chased us away if he'd thought at all that he had the gumption to do it. And that had been sort of reviled out of him, you know? So that day came and went, and about 3 weeks later, the teacher brought in this mystery liquid. It was in a big test tube, and it looked like blue Kool-Aid. And the teacher said, I want you all to just guess what this is. And we all said, it's blue Kool-Aid. That's exactly what it looks like. And nobody was being very creative about it until Billy, without a word, just walked up without even being asked, not even asking to leave his seat, just walked up and just sniffed it and said, it's antifreeze. We went, what? It's antifreeze? What's that? How do you know it's antifreeze? My dad and I work on cars. Really? No, I didn't know that about Billy. And where this story leaves me ultimately is a level of respect that was inevitable when you learn more about people other than what you revile them for. But also, I think I'm left with the need for self-respect, because all of us are capable of being revilers. And it's sort of easy to revile the easy target, especially if you have power. Just to use words to just cut them apart without thinking. And when I'm eminently capable of doing that. I'm really very good with words. But it is a measure of my own self-respect when I can call myself up short and say, that's not me. That's not you. You were just in another world that day with Billy, and you need to leave that behind. Self-respect comes out of respecting people that you're not sure what their level of respectability is until you listen to them for a while. So I remember Billy today. I remember Billy, I remember Linda, I remember Cappy. And I remember them when I think about those who mourn are blessed. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed. And those who were reviled and persecuted are blessed. And those maybe especially are the ones that become blessings to us. That's who I remember. And I would like you to imagine now, I'm going to read this again. And I'm going to kind of pause for a second after each of the verses. And I want to invite you to at least maybe remember someone who is blessed, or who has blessed you because they are blessed. The poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you, and blessed am I. For our stories, our moments, for this ministry, for this meal, blessed are the saints. Amen.